Welcome to Plan Lehigh Valley, a monthly program that explores the activity at the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission. I'm your host, Greg Caponia, along with Becky Bradley, the Executive Director of the Lehigh Valley Planning Commission, Matt Assad, the Managing Editor of the Commission, and tonight we welcome our special guest, Amy Kessler, Community Develop and Regional Planning Director of the North Central Regional Planning Commission. Welcome, Amy.
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
Thank you very much for joining us. This evening, we're going to talk about transportation needs and funding. Federal legislation proposes spending trillions of dollars on our transportation network that many believe has been neglected. So, my first question is for Amy. How neglected is the Pennsylvania transportation network?
Well, the honest answer is it depends on who you talk to.
Okay.
I think that across the Commonwealth, for those of us that work in the transportation field, it's long been known that we have put Band-Aids on our infrastructure, and we continue to see the resources declining based on the gas tax. And so the priorities of our transportation systems tend to be the higher order roadways, and I'm sure it's a little bit different between the more urban area that Becky serves and the more rural areas, but without a lot of interstates, we see a lot of our secondary and 3- and 4-digit state routes being really neglected, and a lot of those are farm-to-market type corridors that are just becoming impassable due to lack of maintenance and funding available to maintain them up to an acceptable state of good repair.
When we talk about Pennsylvania roads, highways, what are we talking about in terms of size? How many bridges? How big is our road system? Can you give people an idea of what they're looking at here?
The token number that's out there is Pennsylvania maintains more mileage of roadway than all New York, New Jersey, and New England combined. There's over 30,000 state bridges that are needing to be addressed, and it's just a little different in those other states. So the exact number, I couldn't tell you off the top of my head, but it's a vast network of infrastructure that drives the Pennsylvania economy.
30,000 bridges. That is a huge number. Has the pandemic given us more time to think about the roads, or has it had a negative impact, or has it illuminated some needs? How would you view the pandemic and our need with transportation?
I think the pandemic impacted different modes of transportation differently. I think public transportation certainly was near the brink with the ridership declines that they saw. But on the other side, I think our transportation highway network saw increased travel in many cases because people were having a lot of stuff delivered, especially the first and last mile network. Our aviation industry obviously saw steep declines in passenger travel over the last year due to COVID. And I would think that our rail industry probably and our freight industry probably saw some increases, but I think it's a supply and demand issue. I think they ran into supply challenges for getting goods and then having those delivered.
Becky, locally, how do you view what the pandemic has done to transportation? Positive, negative?
Well, we saw a steep decline in passenger travel, quite frankly. You would have expected that when things started to close down and throughout the pandemic. However, we saw an increase in freight traffic globally. So not only vehicle miles traveled by delivery vans and tractor trailers, especially on Route 33, Route 22, and Interstate 78, but we also saw a huge increase in cargo at the Lehigh Valley International Airport, to the point that the airport authority is now making some additional investments in the expansion of their air cargo capabilities there. I think one of the big kind of hits in all of this for all of us in terms of the transportation system related to COVID, but then the net effect of that financially is, in 2020, Pennsylvania's gas tax revenue was down $500 million. And so that affects funds to Amy's region, it affects funds to the Lehigh Valley, it affects funds to the state itself and every other place in the Commonwealth. So, you know, we're in a situation where, as a result of the pandemic, certain industries, you know, flourished and really expanded to help us all maintain access to food or other medical supplies or things like that. But then the downside of that is that, you know, there's another aspect of the economy that was hit greatly, and that really comes back to the transportation revenue components and then those direct investments in maintaining an already stressed system.
So to kind of summarize, people traveling less during the pandemic cost the state $500 million in gas tax revenue.
Basically, and I mean, $500 million is no small amount of money in order to just maintain the current system, the roads, the bridges, and the like.
So, Becky, could you explain the Transportation Improvement Program?
Yes. So it's a requirement of the United States government, and really what it is it's a short-term investment strategy, a four-year investment strategy in road, bridge, transit, freight, even some bike and pedestrian infrastructure. Every metropolitan and rural planning organization in the country is required to have one, as well as the states themselves. So theirs is called the STIP, or the State Transportation Improvement Program. So Amy has one for her planning organization. We have one here in the Lehigh Valley for our transportation investments. And it's basically a prioritized list of things that we plan to invest in over the next four years.
Amy, you deal with the region. How do your concentrations or concerns differ from what Becky may be looking at?
I mean, I think it's just a matter of scale, honestly. I think we're all wrestling with the same challenges. We have a pretty big bridge issue, especially locally owned bridges. Our interstate, you know, one of the last pieces of Interstate 80 was built in our region. We've got a couple bridges that need to be addressed that are large. And then we've just got some NHS routes that are in need of repair as well. So to me, it honestly comes down to there's not much different in the needs. It's just the scale of each one of those needs. And Becky's area obviously has much more travel, much more people, more freight activity. And that's the scale difference between the two regions. But it's a lack of infrastructure and keeping that infrastructure in state of good repair that we're both wrestling with. And we're not talking about expanding to meet the need. We're talking about maintaining what we have. And there's room, and there should be room, to make investments to handle the growth in your economy, and we're not there.
Matt, we have a lot of improvements to make. How much is this going to cost us?
I don't think that's an easy answer, but if you
look at... I didn't expect it was.
No. I think if you look at Pennsylvania's argument with that, they spend about $15 billion a year on transportation. It's really important to the economy, but they believe that their shortfall for what they really need to maintain what is there, again, not to expand it, to maintain it, is another $8.1 billion. So that's a big shortfall. That's a 50% shortfall from what they've offered.
And Greg, can I step in real quick?
Sure.
You know, that's
sure.
The state's perspective. There's a whole other level of government, local government, that's not included in the figure that was just provided, that I think is the unknown that we all wrestle with. So your mayors, you know, of a city owns infrastructure that's not state owned. That is not part of the number that I just talked about.
So who's going to write the check for this?
Well, everyone. everyone.
Yeah, how does that work?
I shouldn't say everyone does now. By and large, most people, most businesses do now. However, things like electric vehicles are not providing any revenue because it's a lot of this is reliant on the gas tax, and they don't have gas.
Just jump down that rabbit hole for just a second. What happens when we become electric by 2040?
Oh, it's going to be sooner than that. It's already happening now. I mean, it doesn't mean there will be no gasoline vehicles on the road by 2040, but I mean, it's imminent. That's exactly the point. And I think that's the reason why Governor Wolf set up the Transportation Revenue Options Commission, which Amy and I are both appointed to, which is why I thought Amy would be important to join our Plan Lehigh Valley dialogue today, because between the both of us, we represent every region in the state on what we call the TROC. And what the Transportation Revenue Options Commission's task is to explore the variety of options available to eventually phase out the gas tax. And maybe, Amy, you want to jump in too, because you're my partner in this one.
Yeah, you know, and it's a big lift. I mean, we are in, you know, what many would say, a crisis. And it's one that we are either going to have to make the investment, which is going to require resources, or we're going to have to address the consequences of inaction. And what does that look like? And I think that's all part of what this group needs to look at. This can't just be a way to generate revenue. It's got to be a way to do that, as well as find ways to have cost-saving measures on projects, you know, and looking at all the rules and regulations and figuring out where we can streamline as much. But it's going to cost money. And that investment is going to be a series of options that ultimately will need to be decided of what's palatable to pass legislation in some cases. And let's not forget, there's a big lift at the federal level that fills a large gap of our transportation funding. So it's federal, it's state, it's local, and it's every person from urban to rural that's going to have to play a part in finding ways to put the investment that's necessary into our Commonwealth transportation.
The current federal legislation that is funding transportation, the FAST Act, expires September 30th, 2021, correct?
Yes.
It actually expired already, and they're on a continuing resolution until September 30th of 2020.
So it sounds like federally, whoever's in charge, this is a nonpartisan issue. Somebody had to deal with this, right?
Yeah, I think that's what they're trying to sort out right now. And, you know, the conversation was started certainly by President Biden when he put out his infrastructure plan. And now Congress is really negotiating what they're going to do. And again, you know, when you're talking about transportation and you're talking about all of those aspects of it, airports, freight, transit, roads, bridges, bike, pedestrian, ADA accessibility, when you're talking about those kind of bread and butter transportation issues, you're really talking about the American economy. In fact, I'm in the process of waiting for my new custom bumper sticker to show up. It says no infrastructure investment, no economy. So if you see me driving around in the Lehigh Valley, honk, wave, say hello. But at the end of the day, this is so fundamental to getting people to work, to getting kids to school, to getting goods to consumers, that it is certainly a huge priority, not only of the president, but of Congress, all of our state elected officials as well.
So I'm your typical driver. I want to get to Harrisburg as quick as I can, or Philly from the Lehigh Valley, and I see road construction and I go, oh man, I'm going to be late. Do we have, to use a term now, perhaps infrastructure hesitancy? Are people fundamentally down with all this getting things fixed, or do we have a sales job to do here? Matt?
Well, we definitely have a sales job to do, because it's hard decisions. They're going to have to do what they haven't done for the past 30 years, which is raise fees. And I think that is the part of the hard decision is what the TROC is sort of set to do. They're meeting frequently and hope to have an analysis and a recommendations by August 1st. And then the really tough stuff will have to happen with the legislature. So they're going to have to make decisions that they haven't made in a long time.
Maybe one way to approach this is, why don't you tell us what the cost of the consumer is when the roads are bad? Repairs, your car repair, your car hits a bump and the bumper becomes dislodged. That's expensive.
They do have that information out there. And I'm not going to pretend to quote that. I saw it about a month ago, and I want to say it's upwards of $500 per vehicle owner per year. But again, do not quote me on that. I know it was a significant number that would make all of us take a second look. I don't know, Amy, if you remember.
I don't, and not any number I would quote would be equally as dangerous as what you would quote.
Okay, so if you look down the road,
to quantify it, though, you're talking about what you lose.
Right.
So there are currently 2,500 bridges in Pennsylvania that are been deemed in poor condition. So if poor condition bridges become weight-restricted bridges, become closed bridges, all of a sudden you can't get places and your goods can't get to your stores. And that's a pretty big drag on the economy.
More time, if a truck has to sit on a road longer, then the consumer ultimately ends up paying for that, I would guess.
Yes.
Absolutely. And more than that, like individuals pay for that as well. I mean, think about it. If your school district and you got your kids on the bus and, you know, you're constantly having these repairs to the school buses because they're hitting potholes or they have to drive further because a normal bus or a normal bridge that they would go across is now weight restricted and they have to add 3 miles each way, so 6 miles total, 5 days a week, to their travel at least 9 months of the year, that has a direct cost
right.
to the taxpayer. That also has a time cost. And, you know, that's for businesses, that's for individuals. And so the compound complex nature of this cannot be understated.
Okay, so the low-hanging fruit, if you will, on the taxation or fee side, what can we expect to see in the near future in order to pay for this infrastructure? Amy?
I think the most, you know, and again, I'm not going to get out ahead of the TROC recommendations because we haven't got that far yet to determine what is palatable and what could have the most benefit. I think the one that has the most appetite across outside of the TROC, but from the public, is finding a way to fully fund our state police not in the motor license fund. I think that's one that would have immediate impact, but there's consequences to figure out how that's funded too. So again, I'm not going to get out in front of the TROC and the recommendations, but it will likely be a menu of solutions to include all the things that Becky has already talked about. You know, we've talked about vehicle registration, looking at the gas tax or mileage fee. We have a pricing challenge right now. The gas tax not sustainable to improve our transportation system. So we have to figure out what that pricing model will support and what that network will look like. And I think that's the lift we all have right now.
I think the last information I saw was that the last time we had a gas tax increase was 2013, right or wrong?
About right. The federal government's been, since 1991, 92?
Yeah, I think 1993 for the federal government, and it hasn't gone up. And in Pennsylvania, it has gone up since 2013. They had like an escalator for 5 years, and it went up pretty significantly, but it was never enough to cover what needed to be filled.
Yeah, the federal rate's still at 17 cents from 1993. So you can do the purchasing power analysis on that and see where we're falling behind.
What percentage of this money will come from the state, and what percentage is likely to come from the feds?
It's a fairly standard formula. Anywhere from like 70 to 80% of all transportation funds in America come from the federal government, which means then the state or counties or local governments or even private sector individuals will match that 70 to 80% from the federal government. And so really, it's a darn good deal for the Commonwealth, for the counties, for our local officials, that so much funding is being supported in the interest of national security. Remember, that's the reason for the interstate highway system.
Mm-hmm.
And also for mobility and for our economy by the federal government.
Nobody likes paying more for anything, obviously, but there has to be a pitch that these taxes or additional fees are investments in your community.
Yeah, and I think that's really where the conversation is right now. The truth is if something isn't done, then essentially we've given up on our future as a nation. We've essentially said we're closed for business. And that is not the message that I believe anyone wants to send. Because, you know, you're essentially saying that I don't support my community, I don't support my economy, because I don't support people being able to get to those jobs or those businesses being able to get deliveries or send their goods out or anybody to be able to do anything. And that just pushes us back into, you know, over time into a status of that we don't want. You know, if we are the world's most powerful nation, we have to invest in maintaining that status, and that means maintaining our economy and preparing for the future, which includes alternative fueled vehicles. Some of that's the now, but it also includes things like connected and autonomous vehicles as well in the midterm and long term. So we have to do something, and the fact that the Transportation Revenue Options Commission is established here in the state to look at specifically at this, because Congress, because the President, because the United States Department of Transportation, a number of transportation research institutions and professional organizations are working on these issues. Something will be done. And I think it's going to be several somethings. I think there's going to be a succession of changes to transportation finance, essentially, in America. I don't know what your opinion is, Amy.
I think you hit it spot on. I think that, you know, we have to make a decision in this country on whether or not we feel investing in our future is important, or whether we're just against taxing. There's a big difference, in my opinion, between just taxing and making investments. And we've got to all do a better job of talking about the importance of those investments, I think, as Becky just did, on driving our economy. But we also have to take a good look at what are we replacing? Is there still a purpose and need? And I've always made the argument that, yeah, we have these assets, bridges, roads, that were built 70, 80 years ago. Are they still needed? Do they still serve a purpose? And if they don't, maybe it's time to remove them and make the investments in where our economy is now versus where it was years and years and
years
ago.
That's an interesting thought. So
there's part of that that I think needs to be in the conversation that we all have, and I think that is part of the conversation. But where do we make those investments, and how do we tell that story has always been something we've wrestled with here in Pennsylvania and across the country. And when you're using taxpayer dollars, that's a story you have to tell. And I think that it's clear that Pennsylvania is not the only state or commonwealth in Pennsylvania's standpoint that is trying to address funding for transportation. There are several states, as Becky said, across the country that are all in the same situation we are, at differing scales, trying to figure out how to grow their economy or how to keep up with their economy from a transportation perspective.
Amy, is there a state out there that has a best practices that we can look at, or is everybody sort of in the same
situation? I think everybody's practice is what works best for their state, because they all own different assets. You know, like I said, Pennsylvania owns more roads than New York, New Jersey, and all of New England combined. So they have a larger set of infrastructure that they have to address compared to those states. But, you know, Oregon has done some good things. North Carolina is doing some good things. So there are examples that can be used. But, you know, again, as Becky said, 70-80% of our money is coming from the federal government. So that leadership is needed there. And what are the future policies that they're looking at, and how do we make sure that we position Pennsylvania to capture them and to grow our economy alongside the federal policies and procedures that are putting in place?
Becky, what else do you want our audience to understand going forward as this process evolves?
Especially in the Lehigh Valley, we're seeing, 4,000 to 6,000 new residents per year, sustained growth for 60 years. And now we've had local governments approve over 30 million new square feet of industrial in the last 5 years. We essentially have to be able to maintain and grow our transit system, add capacity to our roads, increase throughput and volume and safety on the transportation system, improve interchanges. I mean, there's so many things that need to be done just to maintain the system as it stands today, let alone rise to the development pressure that we have been experiencing and look like we're going to continue to experience into the next decade. So as a result of that, we all have to be willing to put in a fair amount of money to make sure that our economy and our community succeeds. And so, you know, what fair means, I think, is a question that we're working on right now. And that is something that, you know, if it's a compound complex problem, if this was easy, it would be solved. There's no magic bullet.
Yeah.
But again, you know, if we invest in infrastructure, we invest in ourselves and we invest in the future. So as long as we're mindful of that and that we support our elected officials at the state and the federal level to make the hard decisions that they need to make on our behalf, we'll keep our economy going. We'll keep our economy growing in a proactive way, but just saying hell no is not a responsible or reasonable answer to solving the transportation funding problem.
So we have about a minute left. It sounds like you're asking everybody to be patient, understanding, and to clear the way for our lawmakers to give us a landing spot on in this very complicated issue. Amy, is there anything you'd like to wind up with?
Well, I mean, I guess, you know, that's the point. Yes, be patient. There's going to be, you know, everyone's going to have to step up, from our elected officials to us in the planning world to every person who has a package shipped or delivered. We're going to rely on everybody to help us solve this problem, because it's going to take a lot from everybody. And if we can all pull that string together, I think we can get there. But it's not going to happen overnight. We have to show that we're willing to look at not only increasing revenue, but streamlining project deliveries and doing, you know, just of the public tax dollars. And I think that's the challenge that we all have, is that the need is so much greater, you know, and the wants are so much greater. It's finding that balancing act between the two and what we can afford to invest in. And I think that's where we're at. I think that's the challenge. And I think ultimately that's the story that the TROC committee in its final report needs to say. Here's what's needed. Here's what happens if we do nothing. And where can we find the compromise between all those parties involved that can move us forward as a Commonwealth?
Terrific. I'd like to thank Amy Kessler, Becky Bradley, and Matt Assad on Plan Lehigh Valley. It's always interesting. It's always a learning experience. We appreciate your participating in today's show, and would like to thank our listeners for listening to Plan Lehigh Valley on WDIY 88.1. Have a good evening.
WDIY is Lehigh Valley Public Radio at 88.1 FM, also on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. For more local news and information, public affairs, and links to NPR programs, visit our website, wdiy.org.
WDIY Lehigh Valley Public Radio, your trusted local NPR member station for over 25 years. Many choices, real voices.